Well, we have a text from Matthew 6, verse 25 to verse 34. And the subject today is about anxiety. Anxiety. If I can say here, Jesus is not saying that we are not anxious. No, actually, he's saying we are anxious. We will always be anxious. But what he's saying here, he's saying there is a cure for that. And so if you have come today really rattled or unsettled with a lot of things, so the Lord Jesus Christ today want to speak to you specifically, want to speak to you and to and here is will give us reasons why we should not be anxious about anything. As Apostle Paul would say, do not be anxious about anything that you can name it. You see, and he generalized it. Even though the Lord Jesus in this text was specific in his address. But Apostle Paul expanded that to say, do not be anxious in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. You see, in whatever you think of, you see, ask the Lord. Come to the Lord and he will help you. So the experiences we have, as I said, can be real, and the challenges can be real. But for a believer, for a disciple of Christ, for someone who has come to put their trust fully in Christ, someone who can say, all to Jesus I surrender, all to thee I wholly give, isn't it? This text is for you, the one who has come to Jesus, the one who has placed his full trust in him for our salvation and also for our sanctification, for our growth in him, is for you today. Because the Lord doesn't want you to dwell where there are doubts, because it's a dangerous place to be. What do they speak for if you are anxious? They speak that the lack of trust in his care. He's God who cares so much. So he cares so much. And he's not saying we are not worried. We are worried. If you have come this morning, today, worried, don't be dismayed. But persevere, because the help is coming to you. The Lord is going to speak to you. He's going to speak to me. Certainly, I was not. I was worried when I was coming. I came late, and I was just like being burdened for the last 2 days. Just like bombardments, minds, heart, everything. It's just happening there. But the thing is like to persevere and to hear what the Lord is saying. Are you with me? So the answer, the cure is here. Yeah, we have many challenges. And Jesus Christ has promised us. It's not like those who will say, if you are a Christian, all your problems will be solved. And actually you are brought into a greater conflict, because this world in which we live has demands. And its demands brings a lot of anxiety and worries over not only Christian, over every human being on this earth. Just even the war in the Middle East is just like really moving people, unable even to sleep. And then people are talking about the Third World War. I was speaking with my son Daniel in Nebraska with my family there. He's spending his summer. And they're saying, oh, people are talking about possibility of the Third World War. And I say, look, don't listen to those false prophecies. We in Australia, we are not talking about the Third World War. You see? So maybe we should be thinking about that, isn't it? But definitely things are so difficult. A lot of flights were canceled in the Gulf, and because things were looking really difficult. Because we are far away, but we are not feeling maybe the heat. But just how about if you live in Qatar, and then the Iranian are flying just like missiles that we are not sure of their nature into the American base in Qatar. How would you feel? You don't know the nature of the missile that has been. And people are just saying they are something to start with N, nuclear, or nuclear war, or nuclear weapons. So threats are true, are real. How about even the thing that we will be talking about? Because the text is very straight. So Let me just go to and tell you what is here. Jesus is saying to his hearers, and is saying to you this morning, that I tell you, do not worry about your life. But it started with therefore. And so you may take as if is the context is what has he has already said. But actually, when I look carefully, he's saying, therefore, because of what I'm going to tell you, he said, do not worry. And now he's saying, do not worry about your life, about your life. Certainly, life has challenges, and there are things that we think if we put in the right place, our life will be perfect. And so here is talking about life. Jesus is saying, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. What you will eat or you will drink. Because God has given us this life, and he is able to sustain it, and he sustains it. And this is what Jesus is saying. This life, we sustain it with food and drink. And then also about our bodies, what to wear, what you will wear. And now here we think, now in Australia, maybe we don't have problem with clothes, isn't it? In fact, we have problem of many clothes, of the amount of clothes we have. You see, but in those days, so the clothes were not were very expensive. The materials were really very expensive. The science was not developed like our days. And so these things were very expensive. And also people living in classes, so to be able to knit a fashion for you to suit your standard is just very expensive. And people were concerned certainly about that. And we are not to limit this to clothes or even food. Even food was scarce as well. And we may think of that time, but how about in our days today? Are there people who are hungry, worried? Certainly, if I have to preach this message to my new refugees who have been pushed recently from their areas and they are now living in Ethiopia and just waiting for the United Nations to bring even like coverage, it's so difficult. They say it's raining all the time, people just living in the open, and there's no food, actually. So it's real if you preach this message to them. But Jesus is saying, these worries are real. How about even in our day today? Maybe we people are worried because if they pay all their money to the mortgage, they will have nothing to eat. So still there is a place for us to worry here. Or some people also are thinking like, if I can eat in a very expensive restaurant, some people even are just thinking of like that, or food that is being cooked in a certain way, that might be very expensive. And so they think about like having things like that. And so that also can cause anxiety. And so the Lord Jesus is saying, since God gave us life, which is more than food, and a body more than clothing, will he not take care of our lives? And so he's saying, do not worry about what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Because he's saying, life is more important. So now here the Lord is saying, what is the most important things that you should be worried about? What is the most important things? So here he will give us illustrations, just like to explain this text, this point to us further. And here is using illustrations of the birds. Look at the birds of the air, contrasting their careless and our worries. Look at the birds. The birds of the air. They don't work. They don't store for themselves. This is what they say. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap. So they don't really strive. They don't work very hard to sustain their lives. And now we are contrasted with the birds that are less important to God than us. And in relation to God, they are only creatures of God's creation. When the reference to us is Father, when he says here, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, they do not put away for the future that many of us really worry about so much. They don't store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father, see, your relationship with God is that of a father. The close relationship you have with God, that indicates he will care more for you than his care for the birds. And yet the birds are free, are careless. Many people, when they think about freedom from worries, they think, if I'm only a bird, isn't it? Some people will say that, if I'm only a bird, you will not worry about anything, isn't it? Because that is why Jesus is using these illustrations, saying they're careless, they don't worry about anything. They fly and their food is coming just like that from God, because God in his nature. So there is no creature that has nothing to sustain them, isn't it? Otherwise, you wouldn't need burning house for what? For all the chemicals to kill all the insects that are around us and everything that we don't want. If we leave them like that, they will invade our homes. And yet, God left them like that. God didn't leave them without anything. And how much more for you? And then here he's saying, are you not much more valuable than they? And now the Greek constructions is put in such a way that the answer is yes, he will care more than you. You see, because the construction, if you have one particles, ox or oak without the other part may, so the answer could accept only no. So the construction always accepts yes or no for any questions. And this question accepts only yes. No matter how hard you try to put any other answer, it will not fit. That is the beauty of the original language. And so here we are told that, and I notice that much more comes many times. You are precious. You are much more precious than birds. To the point that Christ would die for you and would want to fill you with his Holy Spirit, would want to commune with you on a daily basis. That is why we need to spend time with him, not just only to solve our problems, but really to check whether we have surrendered our lives to him or not. And many of us, we fail all the time in doing that. And no wonder why our worries are so great. Our worries are so great because we don't come and listen to the one who cares so much and would want to tell us, even in this text, that even the least important creatures of this world, God cares for them. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. How much more valuable you are than these. And if we can only understand this, we will be worryless. We will be a people who will be moving in power, will be moving in rejoicings. But like you, myself, like you, we fail to grasp this. But that is the beauty of coming into the presence of the Lord. Yesterday, there were things that really burdened me, why I was so burdened and I went so discouraged somehow. I was sharing with this man of God, Ken Harris. And he was saying, Lam, things are getting difficult for the church. The church is losing a lot of ground. We are not experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit in our services. Christ actually is not happy, maybe because we are worried so much about other things, and we are not worried about our relationship with him. Because in the previously, he said, the eye is the lamp of the body. If you have the right focus, the mental focus, your mind is just focused and fixed on God, and then the whole body will be light, will be full of light. And then you will have only one master, and you will have only to seek the kingdom of God and his rulership and his blessings. And there you will be free out of the worries. Whenever even the worries comes, and then you know where to put them. You put them to death to remind yourself that my Heavenly Father cares and he knows. Because here the text before says even our Heavenly Father knows even the things that we need, even before we open our mouth. But all that he needs from us is the focus, the total surrender to him. And that is why Jesus is just bringing these illustrations to tell us that there is a cure for your worries. There is a cure. Do not worry, because your Heavenly Father cares so much. Even these birds, look at them. They don't strive. They don't crave. They don't wage war to store really gold in their houses, to disadvantage other people. That is why Christian people should not be engaged in disadvantaging other people. Even if your technology is so advanced, look at Africa today, especially the francophone. You see the countries that were controlled by the French speaking countries. They would just go there and take all the gold and leave people really in poverty, and then they just supply them with guns, and then they raise this tribe against this tribe, and then they take all to Paris, and then you have these wonderful airports and the developed hotels, roads, and everything, just like that. And it's the same thing. Just go and read about the foreign policies of these big countries. And people in third world countries believing that this is right. And then people are busy really killing each other. Nguyen and Chuluk or Dinka. There's no focus on God, isn't it? There's no fear of God. God can supply your needs. And we as disciples of Christ, we are called to be a holy people. Is it not what Christ is saying? Because actually being worried is unbelief, is lack of trust in your maker, and you are saying to him, he's a liar. Far from be from it to do like that, to go that path. And now he says to us, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life, to prolong your life, if food will sustain your life? So the lack of food here will cause you to worry. So how is this worrying will help you to increase your life, to extend it? Your life can only progress when God is sustaining it. And he knows how to do that. If it's food that is needed, he supplies it. That. And so he's supposed to be the center of our life and our focus, because no one can do that. And it's just like, for example, your height, if you want to play basketball, or if you want to go to the army, especially American armies, you have to have a certain height to be enlisted. I read many years ago, maybe 30 years ago, that there was this young person who was only maybe 5 foot or lesser than that, or 4.9. His greatest desire was to go to the army. And every time he would just come through the selection period, and then the same person, trainer, and he would be disqualified, and he would just go unhappy all the time, to the point that even this person in charge of the selections, he really was so challenged by that. I can't remember what he resolved to do, but what I remember is how hard it was for this young man, or how impossible it was for that young man really to see his desire fulfilled. Because he couldn't. If he could have increased his height with few inches, he would have gone in. It's just like trying to sustain your life by worrying. It's just exactly like that, how impossible it is. And so the Lord is saying, we as we are much more valuable than birds. We are to trust our God. And then Luke has ravens in his version, because this story came in these two Gospels. He used ravens, and they are unclean. And yet, God cares for them and supplies their needs. And he said, you are much more valuable than these birds, because you have been saved, you have been sanctified. You are holy people of God. And for Christ to use this illustration to compare you to birds, even some of which are not even clean, that is challenging, isn't it? That should cause you to move away from that place. You know? It's just like some people are stigmatized, isn't it? If someone would want to associate you with this type of people, you would say, oh, no, I'm not from that area, isn't it? Quickly, you just don't want any association with that group. And that is what the Lord is saying. We should not compare ourselves to the birds that are not so important, because that is what it's saying. They are not that important. And then the Lord went further to say, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies, the example that the illustration that the Lord is using now is the lilies. Lilies, the flowers. The lilies of the field grow. How they grow. They don't even do anything. They just naturally grow. They naturally grow because God has made them that way. It's the Lord himself who has created them that way. And these ones are not just growing, but also they are very beautiful. See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. You see, they grow without any effort, and also they are much more beautiful than all that the history has ever seen. The glamour of King Solomon. The clothes, just if clothes were expensive those days, so he could afford really, really every cloth. He could afford really all the most expensive materials there on earth. And the Lord is saying, even the lilies, they're much more glamorous than of the King Solomon. How about that? If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, just imagine. If the Lord would just say, if there were anything much more glamorous and wonderful, we talk about the flowers as glorious, isn't it, sometimes, isn't it? Glorious. If they are glorious like that, and yet they are thrown into fire a few days later. Or a flower that is sold today for $200. And you hear of the celebrities like buying flowers with like maybe $15,000. Some maybe go all the way to $100,000. I don't know. Maybe you know. You can come up with any figure. But I know they can push any figure. You see? And yet, if the occasion is finished and no one needs them anymore, where do they go? Fire. Just like that. And the Lord is saying, even this one, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And now here we are challenged. So the point of contact here is to have faith. Let us have faith. Faith, enough faith, to believe that whatever I'm facing, the need that I'm having, the Lord provides. And through all these things, God wants to show his character, isn't it? I think you have heard Reverend Michael Jensen many times here telling us about this testimony of this lady, Cockhill, isn't it? Edna, isn't it? Edna. So this lady, we have heard about her history. And if you didn't hear that, this woman, she was 7 years old. And she saw her mom was so worried so much. And then she observed that and she said, "Mom, why you are worried?" And she said, "Edna, the winter is coming and it's wild like our winter now. We don't have money to buy warm clothes." See, even in recent days, in recent years, few decades ago, 50 years or maybe something like that. And the memory is still vivid in our minds. And so she was so worried. And then this young girl who was 7 said, "Mom, I'm going to pray for 10 days. And she said, "Would 10 pounds would be enough for us to buy enough clothes?" And her mom said, "Yes." And then she prayed. They had an auntie. This lady had a sister who was a nurse somewhere else. And then the following day, she was going to come and see her sister after 10 days. And this little girl was praying. And then she was nursing an elderly lady. And then one night, after she just prepared her to bed and everything, she went to her room. And then this wonderful lady, woman of God, came and knocked at her door. I said, "I understand that you are going to see your sister tomorrow. I've been instructed for you to give her this." And there was 10 pounds in that envelope. She carried it with her. That was exactly after 10 days. This lady was worried. Who was in care? Who was in charge? Wasn't the Lord God himself? And also another story that came to my mind. You have heard of this man, George Mueller, many times, isn't it? And many of us always focus on this, the faith of this great man of God, George Mueller. But I was so amazed how the Holy Spirit brought to my mind the fact that why we always focus on George Mueller. How about those kids, the orphans who were there? Didn't God care so much for them more than George Mueller? He was just being used by God himself. But God is the one who cares for his own people, these little children. Because the Bible says God is the father of the fatherless and the husband of the widows. So maybe from today we need to realize this. It was more about these young children who didn't have food. And this man trusted God. And God sent forth milk and bread and everything that we have heard in the history. Because that morning they were going to have nothing. And this man, he just prepared the table the right time, but nothing on it. How many of us today, if you say to your wife or your wife say to you, "The Lord will provide. We don't have even what to eat tomorrow for breakfast or lunch or dinner or whatever. Or for the next 5 days." And we are called to be people of faith. There was this lady, Heather, used to be called Heather Rickard. She used to work at the library of PTC. And then one day I was chatting with her and she said to me, "If anything should happen today, eruptions or parousia," she said, "I would just grab my Bible." The Bible is the most important thing to her. She said, "I would just grab my Bible and run, you see, and not worry about other possessions." And here we are told, even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. God cares so much. And now he reinforces this, so do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat?" See, Jesus has this way of doing that, pressing it on our hearts. And if you are sitting here today and you still think that when you go out from this door, you still want to worry about whatever needs you have, and then you need to really pray to the Lord right now. You need to ask him to change your mind and to think of how much he has loved you and cares so much about redeeming you. That is why he said life, our life, is much more important than any other thing. The life that is focused on God, a life that rejoices in your salvation and redemption, a life that is rejoicing in your Savior, who is alive and who is to come, who is here this morning, encouraging you to press on, to witness to his care and to his character, and to witness to his love for you by placing all your worries and cares on him. That is the purpose of what he is saying here. He wants us to go out from this place today, having placed every worry, every anxiety on him. Whether this problem is going to be solved today or tomorrow, or how about if you stay for 3 days with no food? and yet not dying. And then after 3 days, he will supply your needs. So this is how he works. He might not just do it straight away. Maybe we need to, it's good for us, a good exercise. Maybe we lose a bit of weight. If anything to happen. So the Lord cares. He cares so much. And he controls the times. He would not want us to, he would not let us go to where we will be destroyed because of his absence. Even if he tarry, he comes through. And the problem would be the lack of trust in his provision. What shall we say? Don't worry about saying, what shall we say? What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? And now the contrast is the pagans. He says, like, for the pagans, those who do not have faith, those who are not redeemed, the Gentiles, non-believers, who have no sense of God, who have no relationship with a father, run after all this. They run after all the things that we talk about. Just go to shopping center today. You see people lining up to buy certain fashion, isn't it? So as Christians, we are called not to be like the pagans. As we were called to consider the birds of the air and also the lilies of the field. Also, we are called to see how we should not be like sinners. A guy got converted because he was a bishop in the Anglican movement. He came all the way from USA and he came to Cairo. And he was telling his testimony in this big church. Very, very confronting testimony. He was a gang. He was involved in wars between gangs. And so he said they went and they robbed a bank, $1 million in 1960. Million in a bank. And then outside the house, his children and his wife were in the house, and there were just these gunfires. And then somehow that stopped, and he walked into his home, and then his wife asked him what was happening. So I don't know. He just lied. And then few months later, he got caught, and then he was in jail. And in jail, people are abusing other people. If you are weak, you can be abused in jail. And so he was trying to defend someone who was being abused. And then another person yelled from the other corner, said, "Why are you agitated? You are like exactly like that man who wants to abuse the other person." And that really disturbed him. Am I that bad? Am I that bad? And then there was this visiting pastor, chaplain. And then he called him to a meeting, and they were sharing. And this man shared the gospel with him. And this man, he all his anxiety was, am I that bad? Am I that bad? Maybe our modern people in our days, they lost that sense of feeling bad of our sins. And so after that, he said, this man put his hand and said, okay, now let us pray. And he said after that, he didn't remember what happened. Got transformed completely by the power of this Lord Jesus Christ. And so this man, he didn't want to be compared with pagans, isn't it? The people who were morally bad. And no one in our midst today would want to be compared with criminals. Because that was where we had been brought out. And the Lord says, these people, they run after these things, but you have a heavenly Father. Again, you have a heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father cares for you so much. And then, so this is where you should conduct your life. Because you seek first the kingdom of God. You seek first what he supplies, his rules, and then he provides for your need. Whether clothes, drink, food, everything. Whatever you need, your heavenly Father. You see, if you seek him, you see he supplies. So we are admonished to seek first. To seek first. That is the answer. This is where we go. Because we have a loving Heavenly Father. A God who opens his arms and lavish upon us grace upon grace. He changes even our worries, our minds. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. He moves by His Holy Spirit, and He opens up His Word before us, and our lives are transformed. That is where we should be dwelling. And if there are worries, maybe we need to go into the secret place and praise Him and pray. Actually, when I go home this afternoon, I want to gather all my hymn books in Arabic, in Nuer, in English, maybe the Blue Book, and also the Rejoice. So I put them there and think of any song that can really prepare you to worship. Do that. These are the means by which we overcome Satan. These are the means by which we move away from our doubts and our failures and our problems. The world is determined to bring us down. And every time we come here in the church, we are not just coming to hear a sermon and then go out. We are coming here to meet with Christ. If you have come today to hear a sermon, you are in the wrong place. You're supposed to come in the house of God to interact with Christ Himself, the risen Savior, who is speaking to us right now by His Holy Spirit. Saying, this is where you should go. Seek first. Go to your Heavenly Father, the Father who cares even for lilies and birds of the air. He will certainly meet you in a greater way. More than the things that He is offering to the lilies and the birds. You see, that is what He's saying. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek to be right with Christ. Repent of your sins. Bring all your needs before Him. Acknowledge that you have been worried and you were not bringing everything. That is what really Philippians 4 is saying. This is what Philippians 4 verse 6 is saying. What is it saying? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, seek and thanksgiving. Thanking God for the salvation you have received already. If you have come to know Christ, it's a place to dwell, to give thanks that I'm a child of God. I heard many years ago, they said if you were in Kenya, if a Christian would come to meet you, would say, I am a Christian. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to heaven. Who are you? I shared that with a man who used to teach English here in Oakley. I said, oh, in Kenya they have these things. And then he said, yeah, my name is Christian and I'm a Christian. You see? So this guy is a Christian and his name is Christian and he's a Christian. So the fact that you have been saved, you should give thanks to God. God presents your request to God and the peace of God, and then your worries will be removed from you. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, will make you free from worries and anxieties. As you rely on the Lord is near. That is a verse before that, verse 5. The Lord is near. And even today, as things are so difficult and bad. And so the Lord is admonishing us all here now to seek first the kingdom of God, because the waters will come like a flood into this world. And only those who put their trust in their God are the only people who will be able to escape the waters of this world. And actually, I don't want to get into the scientific as part of these things, like the organic effect of waters. You can talk to medical doctors, even they do have evidences of how anxiety also causes really physical problems. And then even after your problem is solved, you already got yourself into trouble already. That would be very difficult to cure. You see, it is your fault. You should have sought the Lord. And this is to me and you today. That is the challenge for us. And we are to go out from this place as a people who have resigned from this world. That is why we are called not to put emphasis on the things of this world. The world will have great demands on us to surrender and to worry and to be sick and to be joyless and even to have no food even on our tables. So we are encouraged to seek first the kingdom of God and the right standing before him. That is his righteousness, to stand right with him. So then the Lord himself, he will give us, because have you observed that he said, the body more important than clothes? It's not saying that the clothes are not important, but the body, the life is much more important like this. So he's saying there's something more than the other one, and he will take care of both. Isn't it? If we put our trust in him. That is why he says, so he said, like, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, the clothes will be given to you. It's not bad to look good. But it's bad enough to look good will cause you to distrust God and move away from him. That is the thing. Therefore, do not worry about. So he finishes like this. Therefore, because of all that I have said to you, that God cares so much for you. That is why it says in the title that God provides. God provides. And all that we need from this place before we go, we are going to pray certainly. You want to be a people who, like this woman who had a flow, who said to herself, if I only touch the part of his garment, I'm healed. So we want to come in faith like that and say, Lord, you know that I am facing this issue. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about the future. Because that is what happened. It's storing for the future. So many of us, we worry about tomorrow, about what will happen tomorrow. If this happens, what will happen? If I'm lacking this, what will happen? That is the thing. People worry always about tomorrow, about what is going to happen next. But we are told that we are to pray. And Jesus told his disciples, our daily bread, give us our daily bread. He says, each day has enough trouble of its own. And we are a people who will be saved through troubles, who will be looked after. God will care. He will provide for all our needs. I always say to people around me that if you want to do something, don't think first about how is this going to happen. All that you want to care about is this is the will of God. If this is what God wants me to do, if that is what God wants to do, he will provide for it. The Lord will provide. That was what really Abraham was telling his son Isaac when he was taking him to offer him as a sacrifice. And so they were walking a long distance, 3 days trip to offer sacrifice. And the boy was always asking his dad, Dad, where is the lamb? Where is the ram? And then he will always say, the Lord will provide. And the Lord really provided. And this provision is the greatest provision of all time. Jesus Christ being offered as the Lamb of God. And his sacrifice has brought us eternal life, eternal victory, and also brought us home to be cared by our Heavenly Father. That is what Christ wants from his followers today, his disciples. That is why this is within the context of discipleship. Jesus was preparing his disciples on how to live on earth. And he is preparing us today, if we are to live as Christians, as believers, the worst things that can happen to us is 5 years later, 10 years later, when things really get hard, will you be still calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? I've met a lot of people who said, a man I met maybe 2013, opposite to Nyatum House in Mulgrave, at a garage sale. He said he lost his faith because his wife died. But for us, death cannot separate us from the love of Christ, isn't it, as believers? So let us put our priorities right. Trust God and not our own effort. That can only weary us down. But to put our trust fully in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Let us spend some time in prayer. It is very good that we pray, because that is the language that God has given us. When he says, seek first the kingdom of God. So this is how we seek his kingdom. We pray. And praise, is repentance, is supplication, is petitions. Even to pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit is desirable. The Lord wants us to do that. If you have been worrying in the last few weeks or few days, just commit this to the Lord right now. So you put this right with the Lord himself. I need to put this right with the Lord. And ask him to strengthen us to take up all the means of his grace.